My name is Victor Thacker. I'm the Vice President for Enrollment Management at Davis & Elkins. And on behalf of our President, Dorothy McConkie, I'd like to welcome you to the college and to this wonderful Irish Week. Some of you know me as the person who gave tours at Graceland for the last couple years, but tonight I'd like to just mention, as my role in as running the admissions program here, that we are a college, and if you know any young people that you think would enjoy coming to school here, we'd appreciate you telling them about our little jewel here in the mountains. We know that a lot of you really love the college, and if you could convey that enthusiasm to them, we'd really appreciate it. There is a table in the back of the auditorium which has admissions material on it. If you'd like to take that with you and pass it out among some high school juniors or seniors, we'd appreciate it. If you work in a school and like to talk more about it, please come see me or my staff over in Hallyhurst. That's enough. Great concert tonight. I'd like to introduce our MC, Mick Maloney.
Well, good evening to you all, and welcome to the 16th annual Irish Week concert. And it's great to see such a fine crowd here. In fact, I see living souls up in the balcony. Now, there's a new development, even. Cheap seats, right? Well, we have a great array of brilliant performers from all over Irish America here tonight, and also special guests from Ireland, some making their very first visit here at Augusta. It's going to be a great display of most of the shades of talent in the culture, the music, the singing, and the dancing. And we have a long-standing tradition here of starting off our concert with a harp, which is the oldest instrument in the tradition, and indeed symbolic of not just the music, but of Ireland itself. And the harp occupied a very pivotal position in the ancient culture, and the harper was a very revered figure. And all that continued up to the 17th century, when the old Gaelic order was put to flight. And under the new colonial order, the harper was a marginal figure. And indeed, in the 19th century, the harp died out completely. And for about 150 years, the sounds of the harp was stilled in Ireland. But happily, in the last 30 years or so, it's been revived. And what was once mostly a male tradition is now mostly a female tradition, and we're very honored to have here to start tonight's concert one of the finest harpers in America, in the Irish idiom. She comes from the mountainous terrain of central New Jersey. Please make welcome Carol Thompson.
Ordinarily, I'd start off with a blast of reels. I know there's those, the people who laughed are the people that have been here before. but this time, I'm going to play slow airs, because the airlines, I was recently traveling, and the airlines threw my harp off the airplane, and it got cracked. So that's a big crack in the back. So I'm going to play some nice slow airs that I probably would have played anyway. And so it goes out of tune too, so I'm just gonna, oops. I think it's all right. My first tune is going to be a lovely old tune. Actually, I've had some requests for it. And so I decided, since a number of people requested it, that I would play it again, even though I played it once a long, long time ago here. The tune is called Loggin Love. Thank you. really beautiful air. It's a Turlaha Carolyn tune. And it's a tune that Frank and I were talking about it back there. It's a tune that really ought to have words, but it doesn't. And it's called Blind Mary.
Carol Thompson from New Jersey. Originally, she comes from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and she moved for her health to New Jersey some years back. Not sure it worked. Well, some combinations of Irish music and some instrumental combinations got established not in Ireland, but in America. For instance, the banjo and accordion became a major combination in the music in New York City, because there were about the only two instruments that could cut through all the noise in noisy dance halls before there was amplification of the kind of high order that you see here tonight. So that's how that got established in Irish music. And another combination of instruments that got established in Irish music in America was the fiddle and the piano. And some great fiddlers ended up emigrating from different parts of Ireland to America in the early years of the 20th century, particularly from the county of Sligo in the northwest of the country. And they became household names in Irish music because they made recordings for companies like Victor and Columbia, and later on Decca in New York and in New Jersey. And the most famous of them all, I suppose, was Michael Coleman, the great fiddler from just outside Sligo. There were other great Sligo fiddlers too, James Morrison and Paddy Killorn and Paddy Sweeney. And when they went into the studio to record, they were asked by the record companies to have an accompaniment. Now, they weren't used to that up to that time. And a lot of times the studio furnished pianists who didn't know the music very well. So the piano and the violin, as it was called then, rather than the fiddle by the studios, it got established in Irish music under somewhat dismal circumstances because some of the early recordings had pianists playing all the wrong chords, sometimes playing in the wrong keys because they didn't know the music. And it's kind of hard to listen to the old records, but they had a major effect in Irish music back in Ireland. And they, at a time when the country was very much closed off and the regions were cut off from each other because the road system wasn't developed, they spread the music across the country, the technology developed in America. And I would say of all the early recordings, and they featured a lot of different instruments, the pipes and the flute and the accordion and the banjo, but the most popular of all was the fiddle. And the fiddle and piano combination became enshrined in Irish music here in this part of the world. And the whole tradition continues, and we're very fortunate to have two of the finest musicians here representing that combination. A great young fiddler from the Baltimore area, young Jesse Smith, and he's going to be joined on the piano by his mother, Donna Long, originally comes from California. So please make them welcome.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot. Those were two tunes, newly composed tunes. There's a great flute player from England. I think he's from Manchester. His name is Mike McGoldrick. And he recently came out with an album, and he composed that first tune. And the second tune is a Liz Carroll tune. And I just like them, so I played them. And my mom's going to play an air.
I'm going to play a slow air called The Bridget Cruz, and it's a piece by Carolyn.
Play a few more reels here for you. Don't know the names for any of them. No. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Donna Long.
My mom.
Well, I have a couple of announcements here that I'll be making at various points in the course of the evening to fill time while people move things around. And one of them is an announcement that you mustn't forget to visit the only Celtic art department in North America. And it's not 100 miles away. In fact, it's in this building. And it's Eamon Quinn and Patrick Gallagher. And you can visit them in the crafts area on the lower floor of the Hermanson Centre. And that's behind the Augusta store. And speaking of the Augusta store, you can visit it in the lobby during the intermission and find recordings featuring artists in tonight's concert and also artists that are performing in the course of the week here. And also, there's going to be another concert here on Thursday night at 8 p.m. with the house band and John McCutcheon, Paul Reiser, Harvey Reed, and Kathy Barton and Para and David Para. That's going to be a great concert, so maybe you can show up for that one as well. Well, now it's my great pleasure to introduce a man who's indelibly associated with the recent history of singing in the old style in Ireland. In fact, he's been about the most visible figure on the scene over the last 30 years. And if you go to any of the records featuring Irish folk song over the last 30 years, including groups like Planxty and recordings by Andy Irvine, and just about everybody who's recorded, including artists on this side of the ocean, like Solace and Karen Casey, you're going to see in the sleeve notes at the back, special thanks to Frank Hart. And there's nobody who knows more songs in the old style than Frank, and for as long as I've known him, and that goes back to the 1960s, he's been traveling all over Ireland, meeting the old singers, a lot of whom have since passed on, collecting the old songs, and he's passionately involved with the whole folk song movement in Ireland. It's great to have him back in Augusta here. He likes to be called the Great One. Make him welcome, Frank Hart.
Those of you that were here last year will remember the debacle that happened when I got up to sing. It was never as bad before, and it was never as bad since. And I think I made about 5 attempts at starting a song. I don't know whether I ever got there in the end or not. You know, I can't remember whether I changed it, but I relied on my friends, you know, which is like Mick Maloney, and it's always a bad thing to rely on musicians for singers. That jealousy, you know, comes into it. So this year, I figured out how to do it. However, this first song I'm singing, I've been saying this year that those in power write the history, and those who suffer write the songs. And it's very true that the small event is remembered in the context of the ballad singer. He takes what's important to the people, he sings his song, and so many of the events which in world news would be small are remembered for centuries. This is a song of an explosion in a coal mine in a town called Blantyre, Scotland. And I brought the key with me this time. You know. No more of that again, you know. By Clyde's bonny banks, as I sadly did wander among the pit heaps as the evening drew nigh, I spied a fair maiden all dressed in deep mourning. She was weeping and wailing with many's a sigh. I stepped up to her and thus I addressed her. Pray tell me, fair maid, of your sorrow and pain. Sobbing and sighing, at length she made answer. Johnny Murphy, kind sir, was my true lover's name. 21 years of age, full of youth and good looking, to work down the mines of High Blantyre he came. The wedding was fixed, all the guests were invited. That calm summer's evening, my Johnny was slain. The explosion was heard, all the women and children. With pale, anxious faces, they haste to the mine. When the truth was made known, the hills rang with their mourning. 310 young miners were slain. Now husbands and wives and sweethearts and brothers, that Blantyre explosion they will never forget. And all you young miners, what hear my sad story, shed a tear for the victims who are laid to the rest.
...310 young miners, you know, a whole town simply wiped out in one morning. And but for that song, God knows, would you ever have heard of the explosion that happened in Blantyre? At the moment, Ireland is very much in the news. I think we're at a historical point again. Over the years, you've heard me stand up here and ask you to talk to senators and the president and so forth to assist the discussions regarding peace with justice in Ireland. At the moment, there's a ceasefire. Everybody at home is hopeful that the unionists will at last sit down and learn to talk to their nationalist neighbours. Unfortunately, I hear they have walked out of the talks before they even started. But ultimately, people must talk, and ultimately, a solution must be found. They can't keep killing each other forever. The friend of mine named Liam Weldon, about 15 years ago, wrote this song. He looked at Ireland and the freedom that we have at the moment, and he commented then on the country. The last verse has been so relevant over the last few years, but we hope in September that genuine talks will start and that a genuine peace will come out of it. It's a song called Dark Horse on the Wind, and I feel great with this, you know.
All those who died for liberty have heard the eagle scream. Oh, the ones who died for liberty, they died but for a dream. Oh, rise, 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 dark horse on the wind. For in no nation on this earth more broken dreams you'll find. the flames rise high, reach to the sky till they sear the nation's soul. In the ashes of our broken dreams, we have lost sight of our goal. Oh, rise, 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 dark horse on the wind, and help our heartsick Roisin, our soul again to find. Now charlatans wear dead men's shoes, and they rattle dead men's bones, ere the dust has settled on their tombs. They've sold the very stones. Oh, rise, 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 dark horse on the wind, for in no nation on this earth more Pharisees you'll find. In grief and hate, our motherland, our dragon's teeth have sown. Now the warriors spring from the earth to kill and maim their own. Oh, rise, 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 dark horse on the wind, for the one-eyed Balor still reigns king in our nation of the blind.
Thanks very much.
It often offers tantalizing examples of some of the great performers in the Irish tradition, like Frank, and people who could hold a whole concert on their own very easily. But it's better than nothing, says you. An announcement here about the 25th anniversary commemorative banjo. And this one-of-a-kind commemorative instrument was made expressly to celebrate Augusta's silver anniversary by internationally known instrument builder Kevin Enoch. And the banjo will be awarded to the winning ticket holder at intermission during the Augusta 25th Anniversary Festival concert, which will be here in the Harper McNeely Auditorium on Saturday evening, August the 9th. And if you want to get a raffle ticket for this, they're only $5, and you can get them during the intermission. And the second prize will be one full Augusta tuition for a class of your choice. And there'll be a third prize of a $100 gift certificate for merchandise in the Augusta store. And the important thing about this whole enterprise is that the banjo raffle also benefits the Augusta Youth Scholarship Program. And all raffle proceeds will go to finance Augusta's investment in the next generation of musicians and folk craft artists. So you might want to buy a ticket during intermission. Well, it's my great pleasure now to introduce